In the name of the one who was and is to come. Amen. Well, welcome to Lent. It's a complete shifting of our liturgy, of our practice, of our personal prayers, and our corporate prayers. And for the first 3 weeks of Lent, at least, I want to do a little mini sermon series on covenants. What does a covenant mean? What examples do we have within Scripture? And conveniently, the lectionary has three covenants back to back. So this week was God's covenant with Noah. Next week, we'll have God's covenant with Abraham. And then the third week will be a covenant at Sinai, a corporate covenant. Now, this covenant at Sinai should sound familiar to you because we just did it, right? You know, you shall have no other gods before me. And you say, amen, Lord have mercy. So that will be week three. But this week, I'm going to talk about Noah. To look at covenants, I think we need some definition of terms. What does a covenant mean? Many times we conflate, we smush together resolutions, promises, and covenants into one sort of general term. But Webster says a covenant means two parties, two or more parties, entering into agreement as players, autonomous beings entering into a contract with each other. So I want to first of all offer to you that covenant making between humans and God is already fraught and suspect, right? Because who are we to stand before God and make a covenant or a promise to Him? It's when we stand before the Lord of the universe. So, we'll look at that too. Resolutions and promises, we're really pretty good at that. And we're also pretty good at breaking those resolutions and promises. And I'd offer to you that instead of that being a problem, well, it is a problem, but instead of that being sort of outside the realm of normal human experience, and you're a really terrible person if you've broken a promise, I want you to know that from the inception of God's covenant with His people by creating the world to the very end when He comes back to redeem us, all of His people, He's been making and remaking and remaking covenants and promises to us. And if you look at the example in Scripture, they're pretty good covenant breakers as well. One of my seminary professors, he likes to say that the covenant, as soon as the ink on the covenant is dry, God's people go about breaking that said covenant, right? Every single time God extends God's self to us and we go, wow, that's really great. I like that. And then we go about dismantling it, messing it up, and making a total, complete wreck of our lives. Now, this also plays out in corporate life. If you've ever gone to a corporate training or there's some CEO or some boss of yours that gets a really hot idea in his or her head, and they go, we're going to change the culture, right? And most of you are going, yes, yes, we want to do that. We're all really excited about that. And then a week after that sort of visioning event happens, what do you think happens? Absolutely nothing. And in fact, many people are working actively to dismantle whatever new changes were put in place to begin with. Something about us that likes to make promises and break promises. But I want to really look at, for week one of this little mini-series, I want to look at Noah. Noah's a great story. It's great because I love the irony that we, and I've done it myself, that we make great Sunday school lessons out of the story of Noah, but God help you if you teach the whole story to our children. Right? Noah is a mess. His sons are a mess. And God says, the whole place is a mess, and I regret even making this place. I want to flatten it out, flood it down, and start over. And that doesn't make for a good Sunday school lesson. What we resort to is we get the ark, and we get the 2x2, and we get the elephants, and the lions, and the tigers, and the bears, and it's really great. I think, gave away our Noah's ark last year because the kids have kind of moved on past that. But for all the sweetness of Noah's Ark and the promise of the rainbow, to get to that rainbow, it is terrifying. And I'd like to offer to you that, at least in the story of Noah, this is more of a promise than a covenant. Because if you remember what I said about covenants, it's about two people entering into contract with each other, two or more people. There is nobody to enter onto the other side of the contract with God. Noah kind of makes, he's like, okay, yeah, I'll build an ark. But that's not a sort of a binding, Noah doesn't bind himself to God in the way that God binds himself to Noah. So it's a very lopsided covenant or contract, if you will. So Noah says, all right, I'm going to build an ark, and he's kind of a mess himself. He drinks a little too much and curses a little too much and sends his sons off into all sorts of different directions. He is not, I would say, the ideal candidate for bearing the covenant forward. But nevertheless, God says, I make a promise. You, Noah, I'm going to make you the remnant. And it says that Noah is a righteous guy. Well, he is, because of how he believes in God, but certainly not because of his behavior. And then God says, through you, Noah, I'm going to redeem the whole world. I'm going to flush 98.9% of the rest of it, and then you're going to be my remnant. Now, this is everything to do with God's character and almost nothing to do with Noah's character. Because Noah was picked. He was pulled out. He was assigned. He was promised to be the bearer of the covenant, even though he goes through and he makes a hot mess out of his own life while he's doing it. So the promise is, I will never again destroy the world. This is the promise that God continually has to re-up, right? He looked at the world that he made was good in Genesis 1, and by Genesis 8, we're kind of going, oh, my goodness. You really like crazy. And so there's this ebb and this flow in Scripture. Now, I don't recommend you read Genesis to Revelation if you've never read the Bible, because you're going to get lost by about Genesis chapter 12. You get to the Hebrew phone book and you're about ready to kind of, your eyes cross. But what I do offer to you is if you had the tolerance to read all the way through from beginning to end, you'd see this sort of this cycle and flow. God promises to his people. The people say, yes, we are in. We got it. We're there. And then it just kind of craters. Then God lets it go for a time and he says, this can't continue. And he re-ups the covenant, re-ups a promise, and the whole cycle starts over again. You can see this from the creation to Adam and Eve to Noah to the period of the judges to the prophets, and even Jesus himself is the bearer of another covenant, the new covenant. Now, when we read Scripture, you're going to hear, you say, a reading from the New Testament or a reading from the Old Testament. The word testament is simply Latin for covenant. So you've got an old covenant, you've got a new covenant. And I'd like to propose to you that there's really just one covenant. God has been making the same promise over and over and over again. And the fullness of that promise, the fullest expression of that promise comes to us in Jesus. He is the bearer of the new covenant, right? The New Testament. And where he says, what we do every Sunday is we re-up the covenant, if we're willing. You come before God and you share in his body and blood. You share in his promise. And your job, my job, is to sort of to step into a role where we can actually reciprocate, however partially, however imperfect, that we say, God, I want to enter into a covenant with you, day by day and Sunday by Sunday. So you, if you're willing, you are in participating in the best covenant there is possible to be part of. And that is when we come together in fellowship in this place to worship Jesus and to re-up every single Sunday with the bread and the wine. So I'm going to be looking at that with you guys throughout this next couple of weeks. And I want to look at what promises look like, what covenants look like, what resolutions look like. And if in this Lenten season you have made a promise to God, like, God, I'm going to give up chocolate to make you happy, who cares? However, I want you to ask, this is what I told the Sunday school, I want you to ask God, give me a vision for how these next 40 days can be in service to you. Help me to grow up into the maturity that will allow me to enter into a covenant with you. God, give me the grace to enter into a binding agreement with you where I might serve your people. And then, if after you've done all that, and God gives you a clear vision of how he wants you to proceed, then you can give up chocolate and scotch and coffee and everything else, and X-Men and Mad Men and whatever, whoever else men. The details are not important. It's about the heart. God wants you. He totally and completely wants you. He wants you to give your whole life to him. He wants you to enter in a binding relationship with him. And he'll do whatever it takes to help you get there. So if you need this Lent to re-up with God, it's time to start is now. Amen.